All right, good evening. If you have notes, we're going to read the passage from Deuteronomy in your notes and the passage from 1 Samuel. So if you'll turn there first, please. You don't have to read in the scripture. We have it in the notes. We'll read the passage from 1 Samuel first. 1 Samuel 13, if you would, please. And we will be broadly looking at the book of Judges tonight, and we're continuing. We're going to finish, hopefully in 30 minutes, the subject of Is Judges Historical? So, we have the largest group we've ever had on a Sunday night. So I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask Pachungay the question because she loves history. Pachungay, who is the Philippines named after? Why are you asking him? Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Who founded the Philippines? Spain? Who did? I don't know. Are you asking me? All right, let's stand. Wow. Manny Pacquiao, you got it right the first time. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let me ask this question. What Spanish king married the English queen, Bloody Mary? Philip. And after she died young, he wanted to marry Elizabeth, the next queen. And she played him off for quite a few years, and then he ended up attacking her with a thing called the Spanish Armada. By the way, everybody look at me. I know how bored people are with history. Do you know why you're bored with history? Because you think things just show up. Folks, history is called life. I was thinking as I was sitting up here, the weirdest thought. I grew up in an area where I went through the phone book of two counties, Greene County and Jersey County. 75% of the names are German. And I never met as a kid a person that would have ever considered themselves German. Frenchie, why wouldn't they have considered themselves German? World War I and World War II, it's very specific history. It wasn't cool to be German after two wars with Germany. Folks, history matters a lot. And we're going to talk about something tonight that once it clicks in your brain, it's like everything I have talked about last week and this week will just go click because it all fits together. All right, let's look at the most odd passage in 1 Samuel. Now, there was no smith found. What does a smith do? Yeah, hammers things, sharpens things. There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistine said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man, and it gives you the name of a bunch of weird stuff. Verse 21, yet had they a file for the mattocks and for the coulters, I don't know what any of this stuff is, and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. Your first question is, what in the world were they fighting with? Now, everybody look at me. Last week, though a couple of you didn't catch on to that I did point 1, 2, and 5, I said three things. Number one, this is history, I think I said, with bookends. The death of Moses, death of Joshua, beginning of the Judges. And the Judges ends with Saul, first king. So it's kind of set up in a period. I said there's exactly two dates you need to remember, more or less. The children of Israel left Egypt in 1446 or so. You don't have to know the date, 1400 is fine. We know from 1 Kings 6:1. Why is this important? May I ask you, why do people where I'm from not call themselves German Americans? History. Why is this important? Because it's during this period of time, from the 1400-ish to the beginning of Saul's time in the 1000s. That's the era of the judges. I also said at the very end, it is also history that is confirmed by other history. We actually have a stele from Egypt that talks about in 1208, which is, let me ask, is 1400 and 1100, is 1208 in there? Yeah, right in there. We know for sure the Egyptians were saying there are people called Israelites. Tonight we do two more things. One of them makes everything make sense. You'll understand as we look there. Let's look, if we could, at Deuteronomy. I should ask you this question, and I will, but you won't get the answer because you're not ready for the question. But I'm going to give you the question after we read. Verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites. Some of these are more specific. Amorites, a very generic term. The people in the west. It goes on. Canaanites, Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. It's going to go on and say some other things. Tonight we're going to look at two more principles. That this is history within history. And look at me. Do not get nervous. Do not get weird. Everything will click in a minute. Because, folks, history is not make-believe. Look at me. Look at me. Hey, hey. History is not make-believe. Why do we have two Filipinos that are Filipino-Americans, citizens from the Philippines? Because of history. There was a period of time when we had a contract with the Philippines. Do we still have that contract? Why do you think we don't see Filipinos coming into the Navy from the Philippines today? It's called history. Folks, everything comes from someplace. This isn't like, wow, this is deep. No, this is life. It's how things work. So if you go to New Berlin by Springfield and you hear it called New Berlin, and you go to Hamburg, which is really Hamburg, folks, in Calhoun County, they have German names on the churches. Evangelistelik. But nobody thinks they're German. Why? History. We're going to talk about this question. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Number three, we've already talked about the bookends, which are death of Moses, death of Joshua, the rise of Saul. So the judges was in between Joshua and Saul. The dates, 1446, and somewhere between 1400 down to 1100, we know the Jewish people were present. All right. Down under the verses, I make the most important statement of what we're going to talk about. The era of the judges. What does era mean? Period of time. The period of time of the judges. That era, 340 years or so. The era of the judges ends with the rise of the kings and Jewish kingdom. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? Who's the first king? Who's the second king? Who's the third king? And after that, we no longer have a kingdom, we have two kingdoms. By the way, folks, if you don't get this, the Old Testament just becomes religion. Which is the reason pastors preach religion and people believe religion and they don't get reality. I will say this to the young lady over here. Most young people that struggle in their Christianity is something distant, religious. I don't want to deal with it. It's what we do on Sunday. I told Chuck Ells this week, I am thinking about buying a stamp. You know how you get a stamp with your name and it makes noise? Clunk, 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 clunk. I'm thinking about buying a stamp and having a whole sermon, just walk through the Bible and every passage that you only do on Sunday, say, just for Sunday. Clunk, 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 clunk. Because most people's Christianity doesn't do anything on Monday. It's religion. No difference. Why? Because when they read the Bible, it's just religion. It's not religion. It's people's lives. Just like your life and my life. Let's go back through this. The era of the judges ends with the rise of the kings and the Jewish kingdom. Here is the big question tonight. How does this small, with that little curvy line, meaning not very big, I can't say it's tiny, but folks, Israel was tiny comparatively. Hey, Israel is still tiny. If you put a map and superimpose it on the state of Illinois, it would cover the northern little piece. It's a little bitty place. I think I heard Netanyahu say you can fly a plane over it in a minute to 2 minutes. I mean, it's tiny. Folks, how did this tiny little place... Well, let me give you the exact question. How does this small group of Israelites suddenly emerge? All of a sudden, they emerge on the world stage and then reasonably quickly rise to become... This is a misnomer, a superpower. When you read David and Solomon, you get the impression they're a superpower. They kind of are, kind of. And just as quickly decline into a bit player or a two-bit players, meaning Israel in the north, Judah in the south. So let's stop. Does everybody understand the question? Please look up here. How does a little group of people suddenly do this? Rise up? Where other nations talk about them, other nations have to deal with them. Where do they come from? How do they get there? And then all of a sudden, just as quickly, if you go to the University of Chicago, which I recommend, by the way, for you fear-based people, get over your fear and find a way of getting there. Go to the Oriental Institute. You will find statues there in things that are drawn. You will find Israel in these statues, but they're always one of the kings bowing to the Assyrians, bowing to the Babylonians, because Israel is a nothing. So how did they come from nothing, rise up, get up here high for 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden, they're just two little kingdoms, and the one that's most important in the Bible is the south. And it's almost never mentioned. It's so small and so insignificant. What happened? Those are our questions. It's called history. This is what we know in your notes. Israel emerges among several superpowers. We have Egypt to the south. Everybody knows where Egypt is. Egypt's been where Egypt is for a long time. By the way, Egypt in Hebrew is called Mitzrayim. That's what you hear when you hear song. You probably heard it as kids. If you went Passover, you're going to hear Mitzrayim. That's just the Hebrew word for Egypt. Aguptas is of course Greek. We get Egypt from that. There was another kingdom, the Hittites. I asked somebody this week, can you tell me a Hittite? Raise your hand. Who can tell me a Hittite? Uriah? That's very interesting. It would have been very interesting getting his story, because when there's a guy by the name of Uriah the Hittite, look at me, the Hittite kingdom's been gone a long time. So he must have been from what we're going to call one of the little outposts, because the kingdom had disappeared by that time, never to rise again. The Hittite kingdom is to the far north, primarily in what we call modern-day Turkey. And the Hittite kingdom was probably the superpower, more or less. And it was a very strong kingdom from about 1650 on down to 1178 BC. There was another kingdom, the Mitanni Empire. It is also to the north in Syria. Some of it is in Iraq. The Mitannis are much more mysterious because they're harder to figure out and they didn't last very long. They're also called, and there's a big debate about the Hurrians and how these two relate. That's for another time. How about the Assyrian Empire? Friends, please look at me. The Assyrian Empire lasted longer with this, ebbs and flows. Sometimes it was high, sometimes it was low. You find the Assyrians all through the Bible just about, all the way down to 605 BC when the Babylonians finally destroyed their empire. The Assyrians would be in modern-day Iraq, mostly, more or less. And by the way, you don't have to ask Pastor Warren. All you need to do is Do Google. You ever heard of it? Do Wikipedia. You know what it'll tell you? If you Google these kingdoms, or if you just do this, kingdoms of the Middle East, Google it, you can get a nice map. You'll be able to see where these things are laid out. I thought about giving you a map, and then I thought, if you don't have the character to look it up on your own, it's your problem. I'm not going to babysit. There were also the Mycenae Greeks. The Mycenae Greeks were a superpower in the islands of Greece. You have also the Minoan Cretes from the island of Crete. Knossos was considered, many people consider it, the first advanced civilization in Europe. So Israel emerged among several of these superpowers. Next, Israel emerged during the late Bronze Age. How do we know that? Because from a historian's position, our understanding, the late Bronze Age was 1500 to 1200, and that is exactly when Israel came together. They left Egypt, they wander around, they come around, they cross the Jordan, and when they go in, they're in what's called the late Bronze Age. That's going to be very important as we move forward. In fact, as we know from 1 Samuel 13, Israel was still using bronze weapons while the Philistines were using iron weapons. And friends, you say, why is this important? I don't want to give away all my answers. Please look at me. Are you ready? You should have asked, who's missing in Deuteronomy 7 when God says, when you go over there, watch out for these nations. Who's missing? Philistines. I think Sparky back here knows why they're missing. There were no Philistines there when they went there, in the sense of these nations that hated Israel. And when they went there, the Jewish people were still Bronze Age. I don't want to belabor this, friend, but you take a bronze sword and you cut with an iron sword, and it just cuts the bronze sword right in half. Saul, David, Solomon fought with, not so much Solomon, certainly Saul, they were fighting. It would be like this: World War II and the Polish cavalry attacking the German panzers. Horses didn't do very well against tanks. That's what was going on. So in your notes, Israel was still using bronze weapon while the Philistines were using iron weapons. This means iron weapons emerged more slowly in the margins. And the margins, of course, were where Israel was. It was a marginal part of the society. Next, Israel emerges from the collapse of the late Bronze Age. Folks, I think I was probably 40 years old before I ever heard the term. I now have read 20 to 30 books on the subject. I didn't even know about this. Please look up here. Every kingdom I mentioned, look at me, Greece, Hittites, Mitanni, Assyrians, people on Crete, the Egyptians, every kingdom at about the same time collapsed. And from that collapse, guess what happened? Little Israel. God had a perfect timing for his people to become something for 15 minutes. Sadly, they didn't do very well. So they started to disobey God and they went their own way. So Israel emerges from the collapse of the late Bronze Age. That's when they emerge more or less as a kingdom. Not so much they were there earlier. They were there in the 1400s. And they were in the land, but they were scattered, as we have talked about, through the period of time. So Israel emerges from the collapse of the late Bronze Age. I say in your notes, it only takes a minute to recognize that many of the superpowers fell on very hard times exactly when Israel began to emerge as a nation. Friends, I love history. I know some of you, you like history too. It's called gossip. I like history. I like how things connect. Have you ever asked yourself how a little country about as big as my thumb called England became a superpower? They'll never be a superpower again. You know why? Too small. How did they become a superpower? These Everything connects to everything else. Here's what you have. All of these other kingdoms, something happens. Folks, there's good information on the internet. There's a guy named Eric Klines. If you want to watch his videos, they're on YouTube. He'll help you understand all of this historically if it interests you. But here we go. You have the elimination, more or less, of some empires. You have, first of all, the elimination of the Hittites. The Hittite Empire by 1178 BC was gone from history. Friends, that means little Israel, not Israel yet. We're still under the judges. No Saul yet. Saul doesn't come for over 100 years. They're starting to grow and kind of come together at the very time, and we don't even know exactly why. There's a million theories. But we know this. The Hittite Empire, please look at me, collapsed, disappeared, and was not found until the last 100 years. Couldn't even find the capital. We still don't know much about the Hittites, other than we know everybody wrote they were the superpower. They just, look at me, disappeared. Do you fear that will happen to us? In God's time, it will happen to us, of course, if we stick around. Next in your notes, the Mitanni or the Hurrians, to me, even more mysterious. But by 1150 BC, they were totally gone. It took a while for them to be eliminated, but somehow they were eliminated. By the way, I say about the Hittites above that, forgive me. There were some small Hittite dynasties or outposts or enclaves that survived in Syria, Lebanon, and the greater Levant, which tells you that probably Uriah the Hittite was from one of those little... Let me just look up here. We got Filipinos. If the Philippines is eliminated today, no more Philippines. It's all gone. Do we still have Filipinos? Well, we have San Diego. We have, I don't know if Hawaii is Filipino or not. It's Ilocano. Look at me, friends. We have, you understand, that's exactly what happened to the Hittites. The Hittite kingdom fell apart, but there were so many people scattered in small little connections that some of those hung around. Probably those in Syria or Lebanon is where Uriah the Hittite came from, because he comes much later than their destruction. Next, the Mitanni of the Hurrian is the most weird to me. The Mycenaean Greeks by 1050 BC were no more. By the way, this is the time of Troy, we think, and the Greeks empire, look at me, just disappeared. Writing just disappeared. They went into a dark age, 300, 400, 500 years, just disappeared. And then kind of reappeared just as quickly with people that you probably know about, all the great philosophers, Alexander the Great, all of they just gone. Minoan Crete, on the island of Crete by 1100 BC, was no longer. B, you have the near destruction of others, other empires. The Egyptians, the Egyptian empire decline. I say in your notes, although always present, but never a superpower again. I have to say that one more time. Please look at me, friends. Do you remember that Solomon marries the daughter of the pharaohs? Sparky, I think you've probably read it. The Mitanni and the Hittites wanted to intermarry so badly into the Egyptian royalty. The Egyptians considered themselves the superpower. But by the time you get to Solomon, Solomon dies in 931 BC. He starts in 971 BC is when he starts, 40 years earlier. Look at me. By the time you get there, they will marry off one of their daughters to little Israel. They're no longer a superpower. They stumble along. There's Egyptians all the way until Alexander the Great, he comes in. And then you have the Greek Egyptians, and they still look like Egyptians. They still speak the language. They still look like pharaohs, except they're all Greek. And the last one, of course, dies 31, 30, when Cleopatra commits suicide. But she's Greek. She's not Egyptian. The empire starts this slow decline. So all through the time of the kings, God keeps telling his people, don't go to Egypt. And guess what they do? Keep going to Egypt. Egypt's no longer a superpower. The superpowers later on is going to be in the north and in the east. They're going to be the Babylonians. They're going to be the Persians. They're not going to be Egypt. Never a superpower again. Next page of your notes. the Assyrian Empire, which lasted a long time. The Assyrian Empire collapsed somewhere between 1200 and 936. And when I say collapsed, it did not disappear. It just went into decay. It came back because by the time you get to the Kings period in the book of Kings, now the Assyrians are the important people. They're in the north, and all little Israel's always having problems with the Assyrians until finally the Babylonians in the 600s rise up and start fighting them. But during this period of time, everyone look at me, look up here, little bitty Israel. Nobody's from nowhere, but there is a God. He brings his people out of Egypt during the late Bronze Age. They come into the Promised Land, and they're a mess, yes or no? From Judges, they're a mess. They bounce around, and just about the time when the time is coming for the end of the Judges era and the rise of the kings, look at me, the kingdom in the south goes into big decline. The Hittites due north disappears. The Mitanni disappear. The Assyrians, which are north and east, start declining. The Greeks disappear. The Cretes disappear. All of the superpowers are gone. Like that. They call it the collapse of the Bronze Age. Why it happened? Probably there's more reasons than one. One of the big reasons we're going to look at in your notes. There was not only the total elimination of some empires, Hittites, Mitanni, Mycenaean Greeks, Minoan Cretes, and the near destruction of the Egyptians and the Assyrians. There is the intrusion of one empire called, what? The Philistines. I could prove this in other ways historically, but it's not the point tonight. The Sea Peoples caused massive destruction throughout the Mediterranean, Egypt, Asia Minor, the Hittites. They believe the Hittite Empire was destroyed by these roving bands of immigrants, whatever you want to call them, that ended up destroying the Hittites, the Syria, Lebanon, and in other places. They seem to have come by land and by sea, and they conquered, pillaged, burned friends. We actually have, and there's debate about this, but I don't have time for the debate. We actually have in one of the little city states, I think it's Byblos, it might not be, they didn't have email. They were cooking in the oven a little clay message to send to another empire. And they said, the Sea People are in the harbor. They're about to attack. The problem was they never got it cooked. The whole place collapsed on top of it, and they found it thousands of years later. They raped and pillaged every place. Who were the Sea People? Again, Eric Klein's 10-minute video will tell you they have now done DNA on these people. So we know who they are to some degree. In your notes, I say at least some of these Philistines are these Sea Peoples migrate into what's called the Philistine Pentapolis. You know, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath. Now, here is the weird part. The Philistines, they were already present in Abraham's day. Folks, you wouldn't know this if you read the Bible 100 times. You wouldn't be looking for this. In Abraham's days, there were already people called Philistines. The Philistines are mentioned in your note 7 times in Genesis. They're mentioned 2 times in Exodus. From Leviticus to Deuteronomy, they are mentioned 0 times. They are mentioned 2 times in Joshua. And the strangest thing, please look up here. Who killed Saul? Who killed Saul? Philistines. Who was Samson's worst enemies? So why is the Philistines never mentioned as an enemy? Look at me, because the Philistines weren't in the land that God had promised them. There were this group, this is my opinion, I'll give you the notes in a minute. I lived in this area, 1977 to 1981. From 77 to 81, if you went into Waukegan, Waukegan was primarily white, black on the south side. What is it today? It's overwhelmingly Hispanic. I'm not saying bad, good. I'm just stating facts. Were there Hispanics here in the 1970s? The answer is yes. Of both Mexican, but more Puerto Ricans. But there were some Mexicans. Now, overwhelmingly Mexican population with small groups of others. Is that bad or good? How does migration work? There's usually a small group of people come in, settle, and later, and that's what you have. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's the way it works all over the world, by the way. Who wants to be the first person from one country that goes into another country? You're looked at odd. But if you've got an enclave there, then you move. I believe, this is my belief, there were Philistines, these sea kind of peoples, already in the promised land in Abraham's day, way back. This mount. Later on, in the 1200s, by the way, there's a lot of records in the Egyptians because they fought them two different times. Ramesses III fought them in great battles, at least according to him. I think they came in waves. So the difference was, initially, they were just Philistines, maybe a little different culture, but later on, after these sea peoples, waves of immigration, migration, pillage, looting, etc., they come and establish those five cities along the coast, three on the coast and two right off the coast, and they become a dynasty, and they're much more technologically able to fight than the Jewish people because they have but newer Iron Age technology. In your notes, you have never seen this. You just would never think of this. It's not that I thought of it. It's one of those weird things. So let's look in your notes. I believe they were not known as enemies then, meaning during Abraham's time. There are no warnings in Exodus through Deuteronomy about Philistines as potential enemies because they weren't enemies. When you read the stories of Abraham and the Philistines, it's peaceful because there's just smatterings of them. They don't have their own Philistine kingdoms. They are just small outposts along the coast, who much later you start having bigger and bigger waves come. Let's continue. Then you have the intrusion into Palestine, probably connected to the Sea Peoples. The Sea Peoples are probably from Crete, the Greek Isles, Southern Europe, Rome, and or Italy. And I say in your notes, you can get this online, they now have done DNA not on nearly enough people, and they have found, are you ready? Some of the DNA comes as far as away as Spain. So these are people like migratory groups that started sweeping the Mediterranean and they kind of accumulated. But they're accumulating booty, money, better weapons, better technology, and they fight very well. And friends, well, I'm going to give you the rest. This is the weirdest thing. You can't read this in the Bible. It's read backwards. It's the only way you can find it in your notes. Certainly, early Israel's biggest threat from Samson to Saul were the Philistines. But by the way, friend, Samson is one of the last of the what? Judges. Samson lived towards the end. So when you get to the end, look up here. The Jewish people were in there in the 1400s. The first king is in the thousands. So they've been there over 300 years, 340 years. You don't find any kind of problems until these sea peoples come through. And all of a sudden, the very last judge, Samson, and the first king, they're fighting the Philistines every day. Where did the Philistines come from? I'm glad you ask. It's called history. They invaded. They took over. They had better weapons. They basically controlled the last of the judges, and they controlled Saul, Jonathan. Look at me. The first king of Israel and his sons were killed by Philistines. And what did they do to his head? They cut it off and took it back to one of the five cities and hung it on the wall in the temple of Dagon, one of their false gods. Who were these people? They were a smattering of various groups along the Mediterranean rim that somehow collected into a migratory pattern and came down, and look at me, they moved right into those cities. I'm guessing, This is the part you cannot prove. They were already related to those people in some way. But now they're an army. Let's look in your notes very quickly. This might be more interesting. This is not interesting. This is weird to me. So in your notes, the Philistines are mentioned 7 times in Genesis. They're mentioned 2 times in Exodus. They're mentioned 0 times in Leviticus. They're mentioned 0 times in Numbers. They're mentioned 0 times in Deuteronomy. They're mentioned 2 times in Joshua. They're mentioned 31 times in Judges, primarily starting with Samson's time, chapter 13 and following. Are you ready for this? They're mentioned over 100 times in 1 Samuel. Who's the king in 1 Samuel? Saul. They're mentioned 24 times in 2 Samuel. Are you all noticing anything? When you come to 1 Kings, who's the king in 1 Kings? First 11 chapters. Solomon. The whole book of 1 Kings mentions the Philistines 3 times. 2 Kings mentions the Philistines 3 times. My friend, look at me. History, you know that stuff you don't like? Their worst enemies didn't come out of the sky. It came out of what? That whole part of the world collapsed. And it collapsed. Part of the reason, some of the reason, had to be these marauding bands of sea people that came down the coast, attacked the Hittites, the Mitanni, came right down the coast of Israel. They fought the Egyptians a couple different times. According to the Egyptian sources, they lost both times. And we all know you can trust the Egyptians. They never tell a lie. But we know this. They immigrated into the 5 Pentapolis, the 5 cities, and they became Israel's problem. Look at me, look at me, look at me. After 1200, exactly when everything collapses, exactly when Israel's starting to become a nation, all of a sudden the Philistines are their worst enemies for how long? Till the Israelites catch up technologically and they have more than Bronze Age weapons. And that happens by David and Solomon. And all of a sudden, look at me, you don't hear about them much anymore. Why? It would be like us talking about, let's talk about Grenada. Well, that's a great threat to America, is it not? Let's talk about the Bahamas. Man, we're worried. They're going to attack us tonight, right? That would be retarded. Because once they lost the technological edge, they were no longer a threat. Then it was Israel and Judah taking care of them. But friends, from Samson, Samuel, Eli, Saul, to the end of his life, into David's time, they were the number one threat. And they came there in history, not religion, in reality. Lastly, on this part, they were certainly more advanced technologically than the Israelites, than Israel. I've already told you this, from Samson through Saul. From that period of time, Samson, Samuel, Eli before him, Saul, they were just more technologically advanced. This was the end of the Bronze Age, moving into the Iron Age. All right, turn your notes to the front page and we're almost done for this evening. I have talked about history with bookends. I've talked about history with dates. Only 2 dates that give us this period from around 1400 to around 1000-something, 340 years for the judges. We have talked about the history within history. During that period of time, towards the end of that period of time, all of the empires from the south, Egypt, to the far north, the Hittites, to the middle, the Mitanni, to the eastern, the Assyrian, the Greeks, the Cretes, all of them collapse or something happens. These sea peoples come down and change the whole dynamic. And it's in that period of time that the nation starts to rise. Look at me, look at me. And will rise to be a superpower for 5 minutes under David and Solomon. And after that, have you read 1 Kings 12 recently? All of a sudden, the Egyptians are now attacking Israel again because Israel is now a bit player. They're a nobody, Israel and Judah, and that's what happens. So, we now look at number 4. If you ask me, are these books historical? We also have history with footnotes. Please look at me, and I'm going to just say this, and we'll do this quickly. In the book of Judges, you have eyewitness accounts of the factuality of what was going on. And you'll hear it when you read the little phrase, to this day. Everyone look at me. For you old timers, folks in the back, no idea what I'm talking about. Sparky, no idea. You have to be older. You have to have lived in Zion your whole life. If you go down Sheridan Avenue, there's a place where you see this. Let me see. I don't know what street it is. It's 26th in Sheridan. You'll see this big dang cupola or whatever sitting on the road. It's like, what is that doing here? Because there used to be what there, Mike? The Zion Hotel. Have you ever seen a picture of the Zion Hotel? It was a massive structure. Here's the problem. The only thing left is that little thing. So you could drive by that if you're new in town. That's all of us. 1,000 times and never know. There used to be a massive hotel that was lovely, but it had a problem. Which was? It was wooden. And they didn't think they could keep it from fires, so they tore it down. Here's my call saying, until my day, I used to be able to see it. You got it? How about this? My wife and I went to New York City on a senior trip back in the 1800s. No, it wasn't the 1800s. 1980? Something. Do you know we saw the Twin Towers? If you go there today, you can't see them. But in those days, until that day, you could still see them. Guess what? The Bible doesn't do footnotes like a scholarly book does. But it gives us historical witness to, yeah, still here. To that day. Cliff, I took you and Huda and others to see the cabin, the log cabin, my dad and his uncle built in the 1930s. You took a picture of this ugly man. I used to be handsome and thin back in those days. You took a picture of me looking in the window. You know how glad I am you took that picture? Hey, look here. Dad died in 2013. In 2015, my older sister had never seen it. I said, I picked Jenny and I, Mom and Rita, got in a car, drove down there to see the log cabin my dad and his uncle built in the 1930s, and it had burnt down. Thank God for that picture. I got two pictures of it. The one you have is the best one. So until the 2013, it was still there. I took my dad to see that place 2 weeks before he died. I'm glad it was there until he died. By the way, this is called real history. Look at me. This is not make-believe. This is not Star Wars history. This is reality history. Look in your notes. It says, it talks about the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof until this day. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. Chapter 10, verse 4, which is called, I can't even say this, Havot Yijer, unto this day. 15:19. It talks about this place. He called it, man, in Hakori, which is in Lehi, unto this day. 18:12. It talks about, again, these terrible names, which they call that place Maanadan unto this day. Folks, look at me. We're done. All of these are what? Still there. I've seen it. Until whoever wrote that. Is it still there today? How much has survived 3,000 years ago? Very little. Remnants. But friend, when I read the Bible, I actually read the Bible for what it is. Look at me. It is not religion. It's not plucking a verse out that makes me feel good. It's talking about real people that lived in real worlds like you and I do, that deal with all the problems of life. And think about this. You're living in these little tribal groups in the promised land up in the mountains to escape the Philistines along the coast. The empire starts to collapse. Your group starts to come together. There's a guy called Samuel. Up from that comes Saul. Up from him comes David and Solomon. And all of this happens in a 120-year period. And all of a sudden, you are a superpower. Listen, and just as quickly, you are a nobody. It all happened in the real world. That's the book of Judges. Is it historical? I don't know how you can make it less historical. I mean, more historical. It keeps saying everything that history does. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.